Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Chris McShane. Chris, usually we start these episodes with a pithy Mets-related opening question in a segment that I blatantly stole from the Football Ramble. However, there's no time this week, because we have to get right into it. This is episode 108 of Amazing Avenue Audio. And we start, unsurprisingly, with Zach Wheeler's ulnar collateral ligament, or intact one, comma, lack thereof. We'll get to the fallout from this and the impact on the Mets' 2015 season, and both are substantial. But with news coming out in recent days that he pitched through pain for most of 2014, had PRP therapy, skipped a pen and almost missed a start in August, in which he threw 103 pitches and 5+, our opening question, which is about the Mets, but is not particularly pithy, is could this have been avoided? And if you were expecting a rant from me, I will just sublet that out to our readers. We'll start with an email from, I can't really say, I think he's the only Michael that's been emailing us regularly lately. I haven't gone back and looked. So I guess for now, until I can get the necessary information, he's just one of our not-so-many Michaels. Hello, esteemed MLB Network analysts and other hosts. This Tommy John thing comes down to one thing. Terry Collins and Dan Worthen cannot be trusted with our young pitchers. They push these first-year pitchers like they're five-year veterans. The fact that Zach Wheeler was allowed to throw 114 pitches in his first game last year when established guys like Max Scherzer were pulled after 90 is nothing short of egregious. Matt Harvey threw 123 pitches in five innings during a meaningless game in May of 2013. It's unacceptable. Every year, our pitchers just about lead the leagues in pitches per inning, pitches per game, relief appearances, and other dubious workload categories. All of this during losing seasons, where there is no reason whatsoever to push these kids. Sandy has high-priced staff need to take their heads out of the sand and handle the situation immediately, because it won't stop. Curious for your thoughts, Mike. So, Chris McShane.
Yes.
Who, if anyone, is to blame here, and how much blame are we assigning?
Jeez, I don't know. Evolution of the human body, the rules of baseball.
I think I blame Tommy Bond on our internal list, because he was the first pitcher to really sort of push up against the rule that you can only throw underhand, trying to get away with as high an arm slot as possible.
Yeah, no, I understand the frustration, and the points about pitch count are valid. That's something that they've gone high with. They're not the only team to have done it. I think you look at Yu Darvish, and you know, he was kind of in a similar situation. He pitched extremely well. He threw a lot of pitches in many games. But I kind of end up going back to the way I felt about Johan Santana and his shoulder after the no-hitter, where there was something that existed that was a problem, and it was probably going to break. I don't know if you could say you could have prevented Wheeler's, you know, elbow from blowing up, essentially, given that he had already kind of gone down that path. I think maybe you could have prolonged the amount of time in between when the pain started and then when the surgery ultimately happened. I think, and I'm deferring to Grant Brisby here a little bit.
Damn it, Brisby.
Hey, you have to. But, but you know, Texas went a different way with it. They shut Darvish down a little earlier in the process. You know, they were out of it last year. And ultimately, he rests, he comes back, he tries to pitch in the spring game, and it just doesn't work. And, you know, he just had his surgery today. So, I don't know. I mean, the first tidbit that I had heard, if I can use the phrase from someone familiar with the team's thinking, was in late 2013 with Wheeler. So, you know, I mean, obviously, we've heard publicly that it was something they were aware of for all of last season, so that makes sense that he might have first started bringing that up, or they might have noticed something with him late in 2013. But I guess that from that point that you start to think that it might be an issue, I'm not sure how much you can manage it. I don't know, you know, I don't know how much the doctors think you can manage it. I don't know, you know, it's a little bit beyond my expertise once you get to that stage. You know, I think ultimately the goal here is to have pitchers not get to the point that their elbow starts to hurt.
Well, there's pitching hurt or playing hurt, and there's playing or pitching injured. And that's a difficult line to sort of parse sometimes. I think with Wheeler, with all pitchers, it's sort of an issue of, could this have been avoided entirely? No. Could you have delayed it for a period of time? Maybe. I mean, there was concern about Wheeler's arm action. I think we back when the pod was a baby, even going back to 2013, we had an email about that, you know, sort of comparing it to Harvey's arm action, and Harvey was the first one to break in this case. But for guys like Harvey and Wheeler, really all pitchers, I think, I'm not even a Twitter MD, but I think they're a good way to maybe frame the discussion is there are classes of pitchers. There are guys who are going to have Tommy John surgery one way or the other at some point. And those guys usually end up having it early because there's something in their mechanics at the time or something in their genetics at the time that caused that to happen. And it's just, it's a ticking time bomb if you want to use that, I don't think particularly useful metaphor otherwise. And then there's guys that are going to have it eventually because there's just so many bullets in the human arm, or they throw really hard, or like Zach Wheeler, they sit 95 and throw an 89-mile-an-hour slider one out of every six pitches. But there's things you can do to kick that can down the road a little bit, maybe. You know, Johan Santana's shoulder fell off in his 30s. It didn't happen when he was 27. And if you look at the actual workload, and I'm not a pitcher abuse point guy, I don't think 110 pitches, 120 pitches in a vacuum is bad. The number itself is not evil. I think we've almost, you know, since the days of Dusty Baker throwing Mark Pryor 140 pitches in a 9-0 game, or just 140 pitches as much as possible, we've come almost in the too far in the other direction, at least at the major league level. I think there are guys out there that can throw more pitches than they are maybe allowed to. But in specific circumstances, you have to be able to monitor how your pitcher is pitching, especially a young arm. I know we want to teach guys like Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler, you know, sort of that old cliche. Well, they have to learn how to pitch deep into games. They have to be able to get through 6 innings, 7 innings, you know. Keith Hernandez in the broadcast will often sort of opine that, you know, and Ronnie too, certainly to start saying, you know, you want to finish that inning. You want to, the Budweiser in the clubhouse, which I'm sure they had plenty of in the 80s, you know, only taste better if they get to finish out that inning. And yes, that's all in well and good. In a perfect world, these guys are going to be going 7 innings every start or 7+. But when they're not and their stuff is declining in games. And how many times do we see Zach Wheeler sitting like 92-93 with no command in the 6th inning of a game, in the 7th inning of a game, well up over 100 pitches? Those are when you accelerate these type of injuries. That's when that kind of stuff can happen. Now, would it have happened at some point anyway? Would it have happened this spring anyway? I don't know. But it worries me going forward. This isn't hindsight is 2020. I was having these conversations with people on Twitter and on the podcast in